Hello, everyone. Can you do me a favor? When you have some free time, check out Metallic Dice Games at metallicdicegames.com, a first-rate vendor of premium dice and accessories. If you see something you like, use the promo code RBP10 at checkout and save 10% off your purchase. You can use this code as many times as you like, and doing so helps to support this podcast. Check out metallicdicegames.com today and use promo code RBP10 to receive 10% off your order. Thank you for your support.
The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Okay, so 2 hours and 15 minutes later.
We are fed.
Excellent.
You know, they have titles based on your alignment and level. And the first level is Acolyte. And then it goes Heathen Slayer, Brother, Curate, and Father. Like, why is, I feel like Heathen Slayer should be a lot higher than level two, but that's just me.
Maybe it's just when you graduate to like the sophomore level, you're like, really fuck these heretics? Like, maybe that's your strategy? So, to the audience, it's been, like, almost 2 months since we played this. So our apologies for any inconsistencies. Put that down to us being idiots like normal. But, in terms of narration, you have fought this sort of kraken creature, sort of, ineffectively. It cost you the death of a couple of people, as I recall.
I don't recall. Yeah, I don't either.
One of my characters died fighting him.
Oh, damn it.
And I think that was... Have you lost one?
I have not.
I know that Daniel lost one, too, and I felt like you got close. I feel like somebody was injured. I could be wrong. I just seem to remember that.
My dudes don't have room for injury.
Elric, the tax collector, died.
I don't know. I know I lost one in the rock slide, and I tauntauned the other one.
That's true. Sorry. So it would have probably just been the tax collector, then, that was lost. So you managed to get the boat turned around, and you went back to shore. Basically, this allowed the players to regroup. This is supposed to be a level zero funnel, and the idea is that they kind of level up at the end of the funnel. That being said, I've actually listened to Harley Stroh in an interview about Sailors of the Starless Sea, as well as read the interview that's in the back of this particular adventure. It's of public opinion, as well as the author's opinion, that this is too long for players to do as a zero level funnel, and you guys are down about five or six characters from what you normally would be at. So we did a little flim flam that may or may not be in the last recording, and we've got a few zero level characters. So you've gotten back to the beach where the it's like some sort of rock plinth or something where you lit a candle to call the ship over, and you are sort of at the water's edge on this dark sandy beach, kind of regrouping. At this point, each of you now have a level one character. So Flynn, would you like to let everybody know what your level one character is, and we'll just go around the table?
All right, so Bub is now Agent Bub Brassrock. He's a dwarf. He always knew he had it in him, right? But now he knows that, you know, if he wears a shield on his arm, it's better for him, but he needs to find a shield.
Jeff?
Well, Chip McCracken is already dealing with my other character to get a dagger from her, because Chip went up as a halfling, took a racial level. Turns out halflings are really good at two-weapon fighting. I hadn't read that yet. So he got a dagger off of one of the dead characters, and he's stealing Melody's dagger to get two daggers. And good at sneaking, good at two-weapon fighting, and lucky as shit.
As I said before, which I feel like is a good line, leveled halflings in this game are a little bit like what Thorin Oakenshield thought Bilbo Baggins was, which was a sneaky thief. So you're kind of a sneaky thief who's really lucky.
Yep.
You know, pull that closer to you, I would suppose. Flynn, maybe a tad too. I turned you both up a little bit, so it's not too crazy. And Daniel,
Well, Ulrich Launders, the shaman, after seeing his brother Elric perish from the tentacle creature, basically all he did during that whole combat was pray to his god Justinia. I'm never going to pronounce her name right. Justicia?
Gods love when you don't pronounce their names right.
Anyways, it seems
shaky that, relationship.
Good old Elohim.
It seems that she has granted him some favor because he is now devoted his life to become a cleric of Justicia.
Whatever her name is.
Justicia.
May she reign.
Justicia. So we talked about this. You don't really have a holy symbol in terms of leveling up as a cleric. But her patron weapon is like a mace.
Yep.
So I like to think that probably there was some sort of interaction where she spoke to you while holding this mace, and you've seen so much of the agents of chaos throughout this dungeon that she has sort of spoken to you and said, you know, what's your character's name again?
It's Ulrich.
You, Ulrich, must go forth and destroy the agents of chaos in my name.
It's mostly just been our other asshole characters. Those have been mostly the agents of chaos.
That we know of.
There could be more.
I mean, we don't have any other proof at the moment.
As I say, really, beside the Kraken, have you really, like, fought any agents of chaos?
It's just us.
As Ulrich starts proselytizing in the boat on the way back, Melody will offer to sell you a holy symbol. She's a merchant. She's got a holy symbol.
It depends what the holy symbol is of.
It's of whatever you want it to be.
Baby.
It is not specified.
I will let you two resolve it as you will. You have a merchant who's selling a holy symbol that may or may not be of a newfound religion, since you don't know, because you just joined it.
Nah, I'll pass. Maybe later, though. We'll see.
Do you need a holy symbol?
No.
No? Okay.
As of right now, Cody said we're treating my mace as...
Oh, okay.
Whatever. But from what I've seen, even they're not so much spells as they are prayers, I guess. And so you don't really need a holy symbol to really
enact it.
Cast them. It's just kind of like a insignia, I guess. Aha, take that!
I think the idea is that it is supposed to be something that you're deeply connected to.
Yes.
So something that will evolve as time goes on. Okay, so you make it back to the shore. You kind of catch your breath. What do you want to do?
Get out of this keep and never come back.
We had a good run.
We've been down here so long that I don't remember why we came down here.
Yes, Chip McCracken is 100% behind it. He's been bitching the whole boat ride about wanting to go home.
As you probably recall from the introduction scenario that I read, you're mostly down here because lots and lots of your neighbors and friends and family have disappeared in the night. It is generally thought you heard various rumors throughout that there's something going on here. You obviously came into a bizarre frozen crypt. You found hundreds of skulls in the bottom of a pool, some bizarre shit. There's a kraken in this underwater starless sea. Clearly shit is messed up. And this is a place where agents of chaos reside somewhere, probably.
Fine.
You can go home if you want. Recording over. See you guys later. Have a good night.
At least we got burritos.
It's true.
Burritos. So yeah.
Well, we're definitely not going back that way.
What way?
The way where the tentacle monster Kraken was?
Oh, yeah.
No, I think we can take him now.
He leveled up.
I feel stronger as he just twirls two daggers very proficiently compared to the way he did 10 minutes ago.
You have at it, Chip.
So, were there any paths that we didn't take while we've been in the subterranean area?
You'd have to look around. If you'd like.
I mean, as far as, like, what we encountered, like, did we ever have, like, a left or right and we only went right
sort of thing?
I can't remember.
You never really explored. As I recall, you went down the steps, went, holy shit, that's the stone, and you went up and lit the candle.
Oh, yes.
So you didn't
Beezus
really...
was judged worthy.
Yes. Yes, he was. Definitely not by the agents of chaos, Daniel. So, yes. There's nothing in terms of the wide stone steps run down to a dark sand beach, underground sea, far out across the water. You see a golden glow through the gloom. An enormous menhir stands at the water's edge, dark waves lapping at its intricately carved faces. You see the dragon-prowed longship from the darkness. It's about 50 feet offshore. The beat of distant drums and far-off wails of terror mix with quick lapping of the waves. So did you really explore the beach? Not really.
No.
But there's nothing obvious.
The faces carved, those are carved into the plinth, right?
Yes, there are things carved into sort of spirals.
Okay. Can I, which match what was on the wall freeze, right? The plinth on there had some spirals and shit.
Yes. If you're talking about referencing the murals upstairs, yeah. Yes. You would assume that these two are are similar. Just at a glance. The mural up top is probably a oversimplification.
Yeah.
The spirals are significantly more detailed and intricate on this menhir.
I'm going to have, Beezus is going to go up to the plinth.
Okay.
Say, I have been judged worthy, but there is something that we are missing. Tell me your secrets, oh plinth. And he will kind of massage it. And also just kind of look at the carvings and try to...
So you're stroking a large rock phallus.
Release your truth upon me.
Okay. Is anyone else around during all of this homoerotic jerking off of the menhir?
I'm watching it, but I don't know if I'm around it.
I really thought you were going to say aroused, buddy.
Is anyone aroused other than me?
I don't think Orc is aroused by it either.
Can Beezus make me a will save?
Oh no, Beezus. Hit 10.
Excellent. Beezus feels a wave of truth come over him.
Oh.
He understands the way, the secret of the menhir. He understands the truth that it reveals within him. And what he is missing is the ultimate sacrifice. It needs any good menhir, erect as this menhir is, needs a connection to the heart. Preferably the still beating heart of the nearest person. Which in this case, I guess, would be Daniel's character. So Flynn. Can Beezus please attack Daniel's character?
Why is it my character for?
Because you said you were watching him. That's why I asked.
Doesn't mean I was around him. Does it have, like, how close are these quarters?
Flynn, what is your dex?
Of Beezus?
Yes.
10.
What is the dex of your one remaining character, Daniel?
Dex.
Agility?
Oh, sorry, agility.
My agility is 11.
Oh, show off.
Does Beezus have any weapons?
Beezus has a staff.
Okay.
His honey stirrer.
Daniel, you see, Ulrich sees Beezus turn with madness in his eyes. And
hold on. I cry, I know what the men desire. And I'm going to clock you on the head.
Sure. You can go ahead and make that roll. Jeff, what is the highest dex of your remaining characters?
3.
That was a miss.
I think the highest is 15.
Yes, I believe it is agility. So your characters, you've got an agility of 15?
Yep.
Ooh.
And Beezus was what?
And actually, he's got a plus 1 to initiative.
I don't know if it's calculated in or not. Or no, sorry, it's a... Never mind. I'm an idiot. You have to roll.
Oh, you do have to
roll. Oh, roll for initiative?
Yeah, I think you roll.
So are all characters rolling for initiative, or...?
No, so what we'll do is you roll by... So Jeff will roll for his 2, Daniel will roll for his 1. We'll roll separate for Beezus, and then you'll roll for your other 3.
Okay. So here's Beezus.
Do you include agility in it?
Hold on. I've forgotten the rules.
My God. This die... I'm retiring this dice. Initiative.
It says roll and apply the initiative modifier.
Which I think is agility...
1d20 and add agility. For warrior, it's class level. So roll plus agility modifier.
Melody got a 10, and...
You would roll with your best because they'll act together. If you have a party, you're going to operate them all together. So just probably...
16.
Okay. Jeff is on a 16. What was Beezus?
Beezus got a 2.
Daniel?
12.
And that was for Ulrich?
Yep.
Is that how you're writing Ulrich?
Yeah.
Okay. And Flynn, roll for your other characters.
They got a one. I retired that dice. It's no more.
Okay. So basically, Beezus proselytizes, screams that he knows the truth of the men here and what it desires. It's a pun there, men here. And Jeff, Melody, and what's your other one?
Chip and Melody, yeah.
Chip and Melody get to act first. So you can act with both of them as you see fit. Beezus has basically just wielded his club and taken a swing at your newly found religious man here.
The truth lies inside him.
Oh, shit. I mean, Chip really likes the honey mancer.
What's not to like? I bring sweetness to the world.
I like to imagine that, Beezus also wears, like, rose-tinted glasses as well, or whatever you could come up with that would be something similar.
Oh, yeah, he's very psychedelic. He has the, like, bee hood, the beekeeper hood with have the
you,
screen.
Have you seen Twin Peaks?
No.
Oh, man. There's a...
No, I'm totally envisioning Klaus. From okay. season two of the Umbrella
yeah.
Academy.
Yeah.
For the Twin Peaks folks, there's a hippy dippy psychologist in it that like all the time is wearing these glasses and like one of them's tinted blue and one of them's tinted red and he's always asking these most like oblique questions about personality and chakras and just fucking ridiculous. So anyway, so Chip not doing anything.
I mean, is there any kind of mechanic to disarm or anything like that?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm the one sitting here with no books, so.
I offered you a book twice, you dickbag.
I know. I'd rather make you look it up.
I can make a rule up for it.
In the combat section, there are specific rules for shit like that, but I don't remember a disarm.
It might be a warrior/dwarf's mighty deed of arms.
Yeah, that would definitely count. Yeah.
I don't know if disarming is going to be enough. I mean, we're all still low HP. He could probably beat me to death with his fist.
Combat
I'd
action.
Never do that. Come here.
You're imagining Klaus. I'm imagining Michael Jackson from South Park.
One of you is correct.
Mighty deeds.
Chip's going to pull out his 3 yards of fabric, toss one into Melody, and they're both going to run past him and just knock his ass down.
I like that. I was going to say trips and throws is a thing, but this is for deeds specifically.
Okay.
Hook marks there.
And okay. I will add that the fabric is masterfully dyed.
Oh, well, ooh, it's yeah. What brilliant color is it, Jeff?
Puce. Yes.
He's running at him. He says, oh my God, is that puce?
I totally want to make a robe out of that. Sure, we will make some sort of attack roll, I guess. I'm trying to think of how to even arbitrate that. Yeah, just throw a d20. We'll see what happens.
Not well.
Okay.
Do I get a dodge?
There aren't really rules for all this bullshit, so we'll just say that you you attempt to wrap him up. What'd you roll, Jeff?
What am I adding?
I would add your agility from your highest character, your agility modifier.
Then 6.
Okay. Beezus appears to be more deft, apparently, than you expect. So you go in...
7, I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me.
For attack.
Okay. I need to remember that the DCs in this game are typically lower, but I still don't think 7 is probably good enough. What is Beezus' reflex save?
1? Or no, 0.
Oh, it's a 0. Okay. Nah, I don't think that that's quite good enough to accomplish anything. You go over there and you try and wrap him up, but he seems to dodge it while complimenting on the color and quality of said fabric.
That puce is gorgeous! As I, like, limbo and touch my head to the ground and come back up. Where'd you get it?
So this staff, does it have, like, the rings on the
oh,
end
yeah.
for,
it's like,
for
like, you
stirring
know,
honey?
Yeah, like yeah. the ring at the top.
Like the fucking bee from
it's
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes, like, that. Caked honey, like, just sickly hardened honey at the end.
Ulrich, it is your turn.
All right, I'm going to cast a word of command on,
Nice!
I'm Beezus.
Nice!
I'm also going to roll to see how it manifests.
You
Excellent.
Cannot command me.
Those are great roles. Great roles, bro. Does it manifest? That's what I want to know.
Oh, the manifest word resounds and booming voice.
What is the word?
Stop.
So all of a sudden, the cleric drawing in energy from Justicia screams, stop!
No!
I didn't think it would manifest without me actually passing, but I mean, that's up to you, I guess.
I mean, the thing is that you roll, and then he would have, like, a roll against it, so it did sort of manifest, I guess. It just wasn't very...
I mean, you go through the motions of casting the spell. You're all dramatic and robes flaring and holding out your mace, and it's just like...
do not tell me what to do.
Beezus, can you make me a will save?
Yes, I will.
Fuck. No, five. You don't. Please swing at Ulrich again.
Come here, you.
Don't roll 10 or better.
You have the truth inside you, and I must get it out.
I don't have no armor.
Five. Right. Oh my god, my dice.
Apparently a honey stirrer is not the greatest way to approach this. Flynn, your other characters may now act.
Bub is gonna say, now Beezus, let's be careful now. You're gonna hurt what's your name?
Ulrich.
Ulrich, he's a good friend of ours. And Bub is gonna do a mighty deed of arms.
Okay.
And take his pick and try to hook Beezus and like sweep him off his feet.
Okay. You can
not gonna do damage, but just wants to get him on the ground.
I think your mighty deed die is a D3.
Yes, it is.
So you can take that one. So in this case, for the audience, if he ends up hitting Beezus, if he ends up succeeding with the attack as well as rolling a 3 on the mighty deed die, he is able to accomplish whatever he asks.
I'm retiring this dice as well.
We're all just rolling low.
This is horrid.
So the first character who spoke to Beezus appears to do nothing. It is almost as if Beezus is... What? It is almost as if Beezus is frantic in a battle frenzy that you've never seen this hippy-dippy honey guy before. And then the pick attack just seems to hit the dirt and be useless.
I am the chosen one.
Apparently,
you will give me what I desire.
Apparently you are.
Open your heart to me.
You still have one other character left to act, right?
Oh, yeah. Trimothy is like... Oh my god, he's being so dramatic and I love it. And Trimothy's just going to be like, oh my god, this is so great. Yeah, Trimothy's doing nothing.
I think whatever giving you this power can't decide if you're the chosen one or not, because nothing can hit you and you can't hit anything. Still trying to make
up
a time.
I do have Bartholomew Kunch, though. Let's see what he's got. He's got so that's a dagger.
I thought there was like a gem or something up on the pedestal.
No, it was a candle.
There wasn't a gem or anything with it?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I don't either. What would Trimothy... Trimothy wouldn't think. Trimothy thinks this is all just so stupid. So stupid. Kunch would. Let's see. What would Kunch do?
What was Kunch?
He is the halfling glove maker.
He only makes them in one size, though, and they're not fit all.
They're very small.
You okay?
Some people are, like, down the road somewhere doing karaoke, but it sounds like there's, like, a crowd of people listening to them, so it sounds almost like a distant concert, and we live in the middle of the fucking country, so we're like, that's weird. I'm like, people have a party, I don't give
sure,
a fuck.
Sure, it's not, like, some kind of sacrificial ritual.
Might be a clan meeting.
They were playing, it's a pop song, so I don't know. Na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na
na na
na na na na na kind of tug on his finely crafted gloves and say, now Beezus, you better stop now. And he's going to try to tackle Beezus to the ground.
Excellent. So let's roll an attack plus strength, I guess. That's a crit one.
Oh boy.
Shucks.
Why
the fuck are these dice trash? I'm running out of dice.
Would you like to use my freezer? I talk about that a lot on the podcast,
I'm
Flynn.
I'm
going
to put it just right in my fucking tank. Just let it marinate. Come on, it can't all be... It's that... Nah, this has got some good juice in it. I just gotta trust it.
So, just for a little bit of flair, Kunch ends up in the water.
Oh, guys!
Jeff!
Help!
Yes, that's where the Kraken was. Better get out of there.
Oh, okay.
It's back to your character's turns.
They'll try and wrap him up again. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
Bring that puce my way again.
All right.
That looks like a better roll.
That's an 18, I believe.
I believe that that is probably an incredibly successful thing. So you begin to almost like some sort of bizarre toilet papering or, maypole begin running around him in opposite directions, wrapping him up like a
mummy.
It
only works because one of them's a halfling and yeah. they can pass.
Perfect.
So you begin wrapping him up. Ulrich, it is your turn.
Shroud me in your love.
I don't know, honestly. I mean, they're already wrapping him up, so it doesn't look like I have to do anything to stop him. Okay, I guess I'm just going to use Word of Command in case he breaks free somehow.
Sure.
That is another fail, but the words appear in the sky in fiery letters before dissipating. So again, stop.
What do they say?
It says stop. Again.
No!
So stubborn.
Beezus, make me a will save.
I will summon my swarm. 13.
That's a pretty good roll.
Okay. At what point do you spend luck?
At what point?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
If you wanted to donate points to him at this point, before I...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Take a goddamn rule book, because you've thought about this ahead of time, and you could have looked it up already.
I believe that you can spend... I don't remember you can spend them on skill rolls or not.
Yeah, any check.
I think
pretty
that's
sure
right.
It's any check. But I don't know if it's like you have to declare I'm spending this many before or...
I know it's after the roll, but I don't know if it's once I know...
A halfling's luck can rub off on those around him. The halfling can expend luck to aid his allies. They must be nearby and visible. When burning, you can act out of initiative order. So that's what I'm seeing, at least in the quick start rules. I think you can burn it at any point before the result has shown, I think. Because the whole point is you're burning your skills for someone else, so. Actually.
Any character can permanently burn luck to give a one-time bonus to a roll. For example, you could burn 6 points of luck to get a +6 modifier on a roll, but your luck score is now 6 points lower. But it doesn't say anything about timing or whether or not you know you fail.
It's specifically in halfling in terms of when he think. I think when he can spend it. I'm gonna pull up a digital copy as well. Once I remember, we got new phones, and now I gotta figure out where the shit everything is. Whoa, this is a different look entirely.
Are you looking for the halfling page?
I think Jeff's on it. I would say you probably can do it whenever, Jeff.
A character can declare his intent to burn luck before or after his die roll.
Okay.
He then specifies how many points he will burn, but he can only burn luck once per roll.
Okay.
But it doesn't say whether or not we know we passed?
Nope.
I feel like if you're going to burn it, because it's a resource that while you do get it back, I feel like it's only fair to let you know how much you would need to burn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's only fair. Okay. I will tell you that if you want to burn luck, you're going to need to burn 2 luck.
But you only have to one, right?
He needs 2 more to his roll.
Correct.
So I burn 1 point.
I don't know if...
Thing.
Does the halfling thing apply to other players or just to yourself? Mm-hmm. It does? Okay. I will trust you. So Beezus looks like he is not going to shake off this incomprehensible madness that has claimed him. But suddenly... with a wink and a nudge from the halfling, Chip McCracken allows Beezus to shake off whatever has temporarily claimed him. Beezus could relay that something about the spirals just caused everything to go black. He has no idea what he's done for the last several actions.
My friends, I was hypnotized. I was mesmerized, like looking at the sweet, sweet hexagons of a honeycomb. But they're everywhere. And all I wanted to do was bust this one's head open and carve out their heart and sacrifice it and then burn the body and then and consume it all.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm better now, though. And this chiffon, this puce is lovely.
You can release me anytime, friends, as they just keep twisting around tighter and tighter.
I saw it all so clearly. I carved your chest open like a pheasant. It was wonderful. I lifted your heart like a child from the womb. It's beautiful. Where now, friends?
Ulrich's still going to be weary of... of Beezus. Keep
I feel distance. Like we're closer now.
I don't.
Okay, so are we going to go back upstairs? Are we going to explore the beach? Are we going to go back out on the water?
Beezus is done exploring. He's going to go sit down.
As best as you can when you're wrapped in cloth.
Wait, is Kunch still in the water? Oh!
Yeah, that is true. Kunch is still in the water.
Oh, God. Bubble will be like, now come here, Kunch, and just kind of pick him up out of the 2 feet of water.
You do hear some splashing behind him, so it's probably a good thing he got out this round.
Let's go.
Told you that Kraken was in there. Tentacle creature.
Did you call me?
That's Mick Kraken.
Oh.
You.
Oh, okay. I mean, is there anything else that we can see on the beach that looks...
could investigate, walk up and down it if you like.
Sure.
Yeah.
Orca is going to walk up and down the beach and not touch any weird pillars.
Trimothy is kicking a rock along the beach, just acting like he doesn't care. So that's his exploring.
See, nice. if it had been Trimothy that started licking the pillar and stuff, I'd have stabbed him.
He would have stabbed himself.
he probably would have accepted the power. Let it consume him.
So exploring, say to the left of the men here, the sandy beach just meets a rock wall. Exploring to the right of the sandy beach, it seems like water is flowing from almost an underwater cavern. So the water is flowing from somewhere up above and flowing through this particular area. It appears like it's a small space, and it would be theoretically to crawl up in there, but it is like a, some sort of cave structure where water is flowing from above.
We got small people.
Would it be a difficult climb? I mean, is water, like, actively rushing down?
Water is actively rushing down. Okay. But it's not terribly fast.
So doable, but probably difficult.
It appears to be an opening in circumference of, say, 4 feet. So, I mean, slightly larger than a manhole cover. Mm-hmm. But there is a foot, foot and a half, 2 feet of water running out of it. So water is clearly flowing from some other location up, left, right, down, and feeding into this sea because it is lower down. So it's a question if you feel like it's worth it to crawl into this random
probably
watery
cave. I don't
feel like that
I don't
makes
think
a
it
whole
is.
Lot of sense. But no. We now know that there may be another source of water somewhere that, you know, if we find it, we know there's
a
way
I
down
guess,
here.
I mean, I guess we can just head it back into the keep then. And explore more of that, because, I mean, I'm not getting back on that boat.
Not until I'm more powerful.
So, you can ascend the staircase, if that's what you'd like to do. That's sure. Obviously the only other way if you're not going to go anywhere else. So, you walk up the set of steps, take a left, walk up the set of steps, take another left, and you are back in the sort of this large pool area with the skulls in the pool, the murals on either side. And I think there are a couple of alcoves with some ratty cloaks or something like that. But you're back in this sort of distinctive, we'll call it the mural hall for lack of a better descriptor. Yeah.
So describe the pool again.
Wide stone steps ascend into a long hall. The walls are decorated with elaborate tile mosaics depicting foul ceremonies to horrific and baleful fiends. The walls are slick with condensation and black algae. The condensation runs in rivulets and collects in a long brackish pool set in the center of the hall.
And what were the alcoves with, like, cloaks and stuff in them?
It just sort of looks like it looks almost like a cloakroom. Like, sort of just something set back. It's almost like they set back and kind of curved around the mural. I'm trying to think of a good example. Kind of like, if you've ever been in a church, sometimes, like, if there are ceremonial robes or something, like, there'll be a quick, hey, I can duck behind this. I can duck behind this pillar and grab a robe and put it on over my clothes quickly kind of thing. Kind of like that.
Okay. As a dyer, could Chip get any kind of an inference about what someone dealing with clothes? What were these for? What are these? What can we find out about them?
If you pull them out, it looks like there are several hooks, but there's only one cloak in each nook, so it looks like the cloaks are missing, or it could have held several cloaks, but there's only one there. They are moth-eaten. They're not particularly well made. It is a hooded robe, and it's embroidered with bizarre sigils that are stitched in silver thread.
Wait, Beezus wore one when he summoned the boat, right?
I don't remember.
I thought I did. I thought I made a point of that.
I don't think so, but it's entirely possible. It's been a while.
Because in the mural, the person has a spirally cloak.
You're right, yeah.
So I feel like I summoned it
and
when...
And it's got... The robe has, like, stitching shown in the mural.
So if I... Here's the issue. If I didn't, Beezus would be like, oh no, I have an idea! And then go try to summon the boat again.
Assuming that Beezus takes this amount of time to do so, he runs down with the cloak on, he lights the candle, the boat approaches the edge of the water again.
Same as
there
as
are no, there is appears to be no differing effect.
I don't want to go without my friends. I feel like we'll all die if we go. Oh well. Okay, I'll go back up. Remembering that next time he summons it, he wants to wear the cloak. In case he didn't the first time. I'm sorry, listeners. We're bad at this.
Anything else that any of the characters would like to do in this sort of mural area?
Well, I mean, if my spells are basically infinite at this point, I'm going to cast Detect Magic and see if I can't roll high enough to get something out of something.
Go. Sure. This will be exciting. Ooh, that's a roll.
Okay, so 14.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks is... 12 to 13 and 14 or 17 are the same, so that doesn't really help us out much.
But for the listeners, depending on how well you roll, you do get different effects.
Yes.
So what is your effect?
The cleric is aware of magical enchantment on any object or creature within range. The range is 30 feet or more, depending on how... 30 feet is base. This includes weapons or armor worn by a creature as well as spells. The cleric cannot distinguish which portions of the targets are magical. For example, a creature... enchanted by a spell or carrying a magical weapon or item registers simply as magical.
Okay.
Objects behind 3 feet of wood, 1 foot of solid metal, or 1 foot of... Sorry, those are not all feet. One object of 3 feet of wood, 1 inch of solid metal, or 1 foot of stone are not detected.
Okay. And where are you standing when you cast this?
Probably, I would say, we were in the room with the skulls, right?
In the mural hall?
Examining the mural.
While examining the mural?
Yes.
How long does the spell last?
Duration is 2 turns.
Okay.
Casting time is 2 actions.
So you kind of cast this expecting the mural to do something for you, and it doesn't. And you kind of turn away in frustration to kind of look at the other side of the mural. And when you do, you realize that you can see a lot of glowing skulls that appear to be magical.
Okay.
It is if the skulls in this pool are something is... I don't know that the tech magic gives you any sort of information or inference.
Only if I would have rolled higher, probably.
You get the sense that these skulls are not just the skulls of creatures and beings that are here. There is something about them that is mercurial. I believe they use the term phlogiston. In the book in several places. So there is something about these skulls that is not normal. But other than that, after 2 turns, it poofs away. But in terms of the mural, in terms of maybe the robe, if you happen to have one nearby, in terms of your party, except I do think one of your party members did have a skull, and if that is the case, then that skull in their pack is also glowing.
So these skulls seem to be magical, not of natural origin. So they're not just dead beings. Or, I mean, I guess they could have been, but at some point the skulls were enchanted.
To be fair, I know it's been a while for you guys, but only just probably an episode for the listeners. At one point, a skull did rise to the surface glowing from its eye sockets. So it's definitely not just a a normal average skull. There is something going on with those skulls in the pool.
So, Kunch will go over to the pool and just kind of look in. Anything that he notices about the skulls? Do they react?
As before, whenever a character peers into the pool, a skull will just rise to the surface, a faint glow, emanating from its eye sockets.
And somebody grabbed one, so there was no reaction when the hand was put into the water. I mean, there may have been, but there was nothing.
Kunch will take a skull.
Sure.
Smash it.
Oh, hello?
No, smash it.
No what? Response.
I don't know that I want to smash it.
Melody and Chip will take one.
Sure. You have skulls.
Yep. Trimothy is very intrigued because it's very cool, these skulls. So he will take one as well.
Yeah. You can have skulls
sure
if you want.
I'm pretty sure that Trimothy is the one who took one.
Did Trimothy already take one?
It's entirely possible, but if you didn't write it down on your
Trimothy
character sheet.
Trimothy still has two then. No, I he doesn't have it. I don't think he took it. I think one of your characters who died took it.
My two died before we got in here.
Oh. Well, shit.
It was Daniels that died on the boat.
Oh.
I don't think he took a skull, but he may have. Anyways, Ulrich is going to take a skull.
Sure.
And try to smash it with his mace.
He can do so. The mace crumbles.
It's like, oh.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
The skull smashes.
Nothing.
Nothing appears to happen. No craziness.
Can Ulrich get another skull?
Sure.
Okay. He's going to take a skull too, isn't everybody else's?
Yep.
How many skulls are left?
The water is brackish. You can't really tell. And this is a long hallway. So unless you're going to go rooting around, you're going to have some issues knowing for sure. But you can tell that it feels like the descriptor filled with skulls is probably more apt than, hey, there are a handful.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell with the brackish water. You can only see a few inches, you know what I mean? Maybe a foot at most. And you get the sense that the middle of that pool is deeper than it probably appears. You don't know that for sure, just guessing.
I'm going to, Beezus will take his honey stick and he'll poke down on one end, see how deep it is.
Are you trying to just do the edges or is he like actually stepping into the water?
Just as close to the edge as he can get.
So it's kind of as he's standing on the edge of the water and moving, it's a little bit like if you've ever been at a rocky beach and you kind of move the rocks underneath your feet and they kind of jumble all around. He feels a floor under there, like maybe a foot or so, but it's like things and rocks, presumably skulls, but you can't really tell, are moving no matter how deep he moves it.
And then if he goes to the middle, is it any deeper?
It's significantly deeper. He probably can't reach the middle, and as he goes down, there is a spot where he probably can't reach down to the base. But anywhere where he is able to feel, he feels that same uneven surface where things are rattling and moving when force is applied.
Okay. And you said there were, like, a lot of this liquid was dripping from the algae on the wall?
Yes.
Down, okay.
Chip and Melody are going to take robes as well.
Okay. So there are three of the four robes have gone.
Because Beezus has one.
Right.
Kunch is going to have a hunch. He's going to take his little dagger and scrape some of the algae off the wall.
Okay. He removes some green, blackish algae.
Anything under there?
No, just the mosaic. I mean, it's not so thick on the walls that you can't tell what it is underneath. It's kind of just surface level, and if he scrapes it off, the wall just looks more clean.
Well,
so if we go back from here to what was this right after the ice tomb?
There's an ice tomb, and then there was the we got on that ledge, and then straight ahead, I think, was the treasure chests, and then we went right, and that led us here, I think.
Cody's drawing.
I love that I got this. Such a great idea.
It really is.
Ice room. You came across into a landing, up and around to the treasure, down some steps to the hall, and then down steps to the beach.
Okay, so there are more stairs that we didn't take.
Correct. There are stairs from that landing going up.
Okay. Oh.
Presumably into the keep. That would be the most logical
That's probably
place.
Where we should go.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, with this ice place, you kind of came down, there was another spot here, and then you actually entered by falling in a hole.
Yep.
So you could...
So let's go up into the keep.
Yeah.
That the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ulrich's going to be in the back. He still don't trust beeswax over there.
So the way that it says to do marching order is that you sort of determine it for your own party. So at this point, it's really only Flynn and Jeff, but you kind of determine what your marching order is and like who's your character in the front, who's your character in the middle, who's your character in the back kind of thing. But obviously, Ulrich can be wherever he likes because that's you're down to a single character. So you're going back up the landing then, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to find how stealth works. Okay. So Chip would like to stealth and kind of scout ahead.
Okay. Which is done how?
It's agility, plus he gets a bonus to sneaking.
Okay. And it's just a DC, or am I against?
I have no idea. It just tells me that it is agility based.
The shadow.
DC 5 is child's play. DC 10 is a man's deed. DC 15 is the feats of daring do. And 20 is hero's work.
Okay. That gives me a good basis for what you need to do.
It's a 19 by the looks of it.
Okay.
No, that's a 23.
Excellent. Good work. Chip goes up the stairs. The stairs go up pretty quickly, and it doesn't take them very long. They turn a little bit, and you're at a door. With a 23, I'll presume that you are... Well, okay, you're at a door. What do you want to do?
Listen at the door.
Okay.
Or peek through a keyhole if I can.
Okay.
Whatever.
With a 23, you can tell that the room beyond is dark. Sunlight does appear to be streaming in, but it's not super great and easy to see. You can see that the room beyond is circular. You would presume, just based on where you're at, that this is a tower as part of the keep. So you're back at ground level. You can tell that there's sunlight. You see 5, 6, 7 forms moving in and about this room. Monstrous shaped beast monsters. The floors and walls of this space are lined with pelts and skins and other things. And you got a 23, which is really, really good. You see bodies hanging from chains in this area as well, as if some of your fellow countrymen have been strung up here and gutted, filleted, put up for funsies, whatever. But with a 23, you can see that that stepping through that door would almost certainly be a fight with horrific monsters.
Okay.
23 is good enough. I could even let you know what some of them look like. Not that it really matters. Most of them seem to be holding spears. They look ready for a fight.
Okay.
It's a good thing we didn't come through the front door.
Yeah.
So is there anywhere else in here that I could go besides this door?
No. Clearly, this is the only place that this door leads.
Okay. So what do they look like besides having spears?
So you see a number of different beast men type creatures. Most of them are bipedal, question mark.
Do any of them look like the creatures in the mural?
I don't know what the creatures in the mural look like. I haven't even actually studied them.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
You see a human-like form with a distended oblong jaw that appears to have maggots falling out of its body, flies buzzing around it. You see a man-like creature with curling ram's horns and bulbous oversized eyes. You see one beast creature that has the slick black feathers of a raven with beady red eyes that caws occasionally. You see one with thick graying fur topped by the salivating head of a dire wolf. You see a creature with a hard carapace body mottled black with the octagonal eye fangs of a brown spider. You see one with leathery gray skin, a large head with a trunk and tusk, eyes mad with rage. And you see one significantly bigger than the rest. All of these creatures are roughly man-sized, say 6 feet tall. We see one that's plus of 7 feet with the head of a bull.
Okay, Chip goes back down. He's like, I don't want to go that way.
Chip, what'd you see up there?
All kinds of shit.
That sounds awful.
Guys with animal heads and spears and people hanging from chains. And
that sounds like the mural over here.
Kinda.
My God.
And you said that you could see him through the keyhole, right? So how you found him?
Yeah.
Jeff is good enough that role is good enough. Either it was a keyhole or he was able to maybe crouch below the door level or open it just enough to kind of get a glimpse of what's beyond.
Well, did he open the door a little bit or not?
Over or under, Daniel?
Under.
He opened the door a little bit.
And nothing seemed to notice.
A stealth of 23 will do that to you when most DCs in this game are at 10.
Yeah.
Let's see if all your party who don't have stealth can stealth like that.
I got this.
Brothers, do you know of the truth of the honey? The things that can be found in the nectar of the sweet bee.
Sounds like we got some converts. Some potential.
Well, where do you want to go?
Well, we have to go back to the crime.
We don't got many options.
I mean,
what I was wanting to do is try to get one of them to rage using word of command to cause some chaos, but I got to speak the word at a target, but if I don't have a target, I can't really speak the word at it. So,
I mean, we've seen how well that's gone so far.
Listen, there are no repercussions besides
getting stabbed with 6 or 7 spears.
Well, I mean, the only way we'd get found out really is rolling the manifest date. Well, even then, yeah, the only way to get really found out is not being able to sneak well enough to get up there, probably.
Did you guys reach a decision?
Yeah, fuck it, let's go. Daniel's gonna do magic.
Alright, well, I guess I'm gonna try to sneak up there. See how well this goes.
I like how you're just gonna go ahead and roll. Go for it.
No. Take Grady's deal.
What exactly are we rolling here? It's not a good roll.
Chip reaches out, and as what's her name?
Melody.
Melody starts to follow after everybody. He's like, no, wait.
Yeah, so, I'm not going up there.
I guess that was me trying to stealth approach up there.
Okay.
Just sneezing on every step.
I didn't crit fail. I just...
Okay. What is your goal when you get to the top of the stairs?
Is the door already cracked open?
I would assume so. He didn't necessarily close it, per se.
And is there any target in there I can see through the crack?
Yes. We'll say yes. What is your intent when you get there? You know that there's a target to see.
All right, well, I'm going to use word of command on the target.
Okay. Is anyone going along with Ulrich? I'm guessing no.
Probably not.
How high up is the stairs?
We'll say it's maybe a round of movement. I mean, it's probably 10-foot stair, maybe, you know?
Yeah, we're like at the bottom of the stairs watching.
Okay.
Can I only see one target, or can I see more than one target?
Well, I'm going to imagine that you rolled a 4, which is not ideal. So I'm going to imagine you get to the top, and you're like, I see that guy. And when you do, you bump the door, and the door goes, and swings open.
Somehow these stone stairs are creaking.
And they all suddenly turn and look at you. You do have the drop on them because you got there first. So what would you like to do?
Oh,
you
man.
Now see 7 targets in front of you.
How do you think it's going?
God damn it, I love bees.
All right, well.
I love everything about bees.
That's not going to work. What I wanted to do was going to work. Okay, so who's the biggest, scariest looking one, I guess?
Probably the 7-foot tall
one
that looks
the
like
Manitar.
A bull that is carrying an axe that looks like it would cut you in two easily.
All right, well, I'm already been spotted, so I got to go. I got to do it. I guess I'm going to use word of command.
Okay.
On him.
I want to fully support Beezus creating his cult of bees.
That's a great one. So what do you yell to the beastman?
I was going to yell, help.
Wait.
Is that the one where the words appear in the air?
Two is...
You don't have to manifest it differently every time, but I like that you've already gone with it. So let's roll with it.
Words echo many times.
Okay. So Ulrich goes up, goes to look at the door, accidentally pushes it all open. They all turn to look at him with fear and fury as their eyes. He goes, "Help!" And you all hear, "Help! Help! Help! Help!" And you hear the roar of monsters and the charging towards the stairway. Our title track, Bustin' Loose with Lead, is used under Creative Commons Attribution 4 International License and was produced by Jason Shaw at Audionautix.com. Like what you just heard? Let us know on Twitter at @Rancors_Brothel or send us a message on Facebook at the Rancors Brothel page. Want more content? Subscribe to our podcast on any major platform or visit RancorsBrothel.com for hundreds of other RPG actual play podcast episodes. Enjoy sharing memes and talking nerdy? Hit up other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Keep circulating the tapes.